Hello and welcome to Project Performance. This podcast is brought to you by IADT Radio Society and IADT Students Union. I am your host, Kathy-Ann Murphy. And before we get into the topic and guest for this week, I am very excited to announce that we are having a competition in collaboration with the Students' Union and IADT Radio Society. You could be in with a chance of winning a €10 Just Eats voucher. To enter the competition, all you have to do is share the post that says the competition on our Instagram page, Twitter, or Facebook, tag two friends, and share in your story. Make sure to tag us, and the winner will be announced next Wednesday, the 24th of February, on the podcast. So, best of luck, and get entering. So, today's topic is the community and fundraising in the arts. I will also be joined by third year arts management student, Jennifer Hessian. Again, if you'd like to get involved in this discussion, you can tweet us or tag us on Instagram or Facebook. So fundraising, as we know it today, was first introduced in the early 1900s. Face-to-face fundraising, events, PR campaigns, etc. were all new techniques used to raise money for a cause. However, one of the first vastly successful campaigns began within an organisation we still know today, the YMCA. Since then, there has been numerous different forms of promotion in terms of fundraising, in terms of events. And a lot of them have been successful and a lot of them have been controversial. So think of some of the most original ideas on social media, I guess, going all the way back to the Ice Bucket Challenge. Now, the Ice Bucket Challenge came out, I suppose, when the internet was at an early stage in its development. Facebook was really coming into its own. Instagram really wasn't at the way it is now, and there were certain other apps. TikTok didn't exist, and so on. So the idea of somebody filming themselves to do this gas thing was so new. And so new for that period, I think that's why people jumped at it. Whereas now, obviously, people film themselves on a much regular basis, and there's a lot more available through TikTok, Instagram, etc. But what was so interesting about that fundraiser was how many people got involved with it. And since then, there was numerous different versions. There was a no makeup challenge. There was online runs mostly during COVID. I know I took part in a 10k a day for the Irish Cancer Society, and there was numerous ones. Just the VHI mini marathon happened, which I also took part in. So there was numerous different events that happened over COVID, which I think is amazing, because now more than ever I think people are more charitable. And the best example of this was the Late Late Toy Show, where they basically raised over $4.5 million for a very important issue and very important cause. And simply by just people being able to be charitable or wanting to be charitable, I think that's something that the Irish do very well. But coming back to the artistic background, I suppose, in this kind of event management, in this arts management of these kind of fundraisers, what really is necessary to make a successful fundraiser, a successful event? And ultimately, we need to look at the forms of media that are available to us today. So numerous people who take part in fundraisers, such as bake sales, etc., work well in schools, work well in community centres, but realistically, everything has moved online, mostly, especially during COVID. So how can we use these new forms of media to create new ways of fundraising? So for example, on TikTok, I know now, and Jennifer mentions it in our interview, that I know now that some of the videos, when they get a certain amount of views, TikTokers get paid. Now, I never knew this. I never knew the TikTokers get paid. I didn't know that was a thing. But they do get paid. But a lot of them decide to give whatever they earn to charity, which I think is a really, really nice idea, because I don't really know how much you would earn or if it was a substantial amount. But every little helps. And what's interesting also is that some TikTokers who have a platform also have a petition or a GoFundMe or something in their bio that might relate to a charity or a cause that they're involved in. And I think more and more celebrities, influencers, TikTokers, the like, are becoming more involved in charity, not just because it gives them maybe a good name, but also they realize their influence on people, their influence on the world, especially young people. And I think young people are very charitable. I think that we're well able to speak up and have an opinion on certain subjects, on certain issues. And I think that comes back to, you know, our accessibility to the world, our accessibility to connect with each other and connect with issues that are going on in the world. So if we were going to look at PR companies such as Drury Communications in Dublin and so on, obviously when we see something like, for instance, if there was a fundraiser for the Irish Cancer Society and it was something like an online book sale, for instance, or ebook sale, everything that went with that in terms of graphics, in terms of promotion, in terms of voiceover, in terms of anything really that they used to promote this kind of fundraiser, came back to the arts and came back to arts management. So how to manage these events. Now, I worked in a hotel for numerous years and I was used to working in terms of events management in weddings and, you know, setting up weddings and seeing the background of what it is to set up a wedding in a hotel. Opened my eyes a lot to all the different areas that you don't know. And I think that everything, if it's seamless, it's in the background. That's the best way of putting it. The same with theatre, but same with everything really. If it's successful, it's in the background and it's not as noticeable. So I think when it comes to fundraising, this is the same thing. So when you look at the Irish Cancer Society and they put up a promotion towards their charity, you don't necessarily think of all the arts behind it. You just think of the Irish Cancer Society, what they want to achieve and what their cause is. And that is good advertisement. So maybe that comes back to Viscom. Maybe that comes back to promotional videos and film and so on. But it is an interesting topic. Now, a lot of artists have also done work for free. I've done work just commissioned for charity and for people in need. A great example of another way of promoting, I suppose, your own business as well as charity is there's a local company in Arklow called Thrive Clothing. There you can find them on Instagram on Thrive, and you can also find them their website at Thrive Clothing in Google. They have fantastic quality clothing and it's all local, so definitely check them out. But what they did is they have beanies, and their beanies are selling for 10 euro at a usual rate on their website. But what they did was they halved that price to 5 euro, made more of them, and sold them in aid of the Wicklow Hospice, which I thought was a fantastic idea. And obviously, they sold out. And possibly that is because their audience is young, right? So their audience would be ranging from teenagers maybe to 30 or 40 maybe, and possibly that's where they met their target audience, and their target audience wanted to help and wanted to fundraise. And possibly that target audience might not be interested in other kind of fundraisers that happen. So that was an interesting take, I think, and it's an interesting way to also promote your own work and your business, because obviously people are wearing that certain top or that certain logo. So yeah, I suppose as artists, my question for this episode, as I do have a question for most episodes, is that if we look at the arts, and we've talked about before about using our artistic knowledge, our artistic abilities to, I suppose, put emphasis on certain topics, certain issues and things that we feel passionate about. But is there a way of taking this and actually doing it for the right and for the good? So can we fundraise? Can we use our abilities to make an interest in a certain topic to then raise money? Can we do things for free? Now, I'm not saying do things for exposure or have to do things for free. But is there this sense with the arts of giving back to the community? Especially when things are, I suppose, going successfully for us in years to come, if we're only starting out like myself, that possibly we could use our funds for the greater good and fundraise and get involved in events management, get involved in PR, get involved in marketing, and really use all these essential art forms to make a successful campaign and raise money for a very important organization, whatever that may be. So that's something interesting to think about.
I am now joined by Jennifer Heshin, who is a third year arts management student from IEDT. She has a great interest in events management and mainly music. She currently manages three Irish DJs with exciting projects to be announced in the coming weeks. So thank you so much for joining me, Jennifer. So I suppose the first thing to ask is if you could tell us a little bit more about arts management. What is the course? What does it entail for anyone who's interested in doing it?
Well, again, thank you so much for letting me come on. I'm so excited. I'm so happy to be here, and really do appreciate it. So arts management, I do get this question a lot whenever anyone asks what course I do, if I'm in college and such, and people generally don't know what it is. They kind of think it's art, events management, but it's basically, as in the name, managing in the arts. Like, so it's half business, half arts, and in, you know, the mix of every type of art sector. So it would be music, it would be theatre, film, TV, and like art galleries and such, like actual art. And what else? And then the business side would be management, finance, law, such and such, any type of business type. And events management would be actually in there as another element. So it wouldn't be just events management by itself. It's in there as well. So I have a bit of everything, and that's what makes it so enjoyable. And it's in the small little college, IEDT. And so not a lot of people are in my course, and not a lot of people, like, the college is fairly small, so not a lot of people have heard of it. It's only just kind of relatively new. It's a new course, or it used to be called cultural industries or something, but it got changed to arts management, yeah. I think, for marketing reasons, I think. Could be wrong. So it is, yeah, so it's not really a well-known college course.
Yeah, cool. No, it's deadly. And there's so much there. There's so much, I suppose, involved in the course that if someone was interested in the arts, also interested in management, it's a great way to combine the two. So I was just wondering, in terms of IEDT and why you decided to choose that course over any other course that might have events management or may have management as a whole, why you decided to go to IEDT in the first place?
So when I was picking up my CA courses 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago, I went through, the night before you choose your, before the closing dates, I went through every college in Dublin, and went through every course, undergraduate course, and I was like, right, I'm going to find something that piques my interest, I need to fill these places. And then I came across arts management, and I was like, oh, interesting, because I've seen in the description, it said managing music festivals, like, that's interesting, I got to try that out. And I was like looking at reviews and stuff, and I was like, oh, and I was like, IT looks real futuristic, new, like, might as well, like, and I know I wasn't really confident I'm gonna get into like UCD or Trinity, like I don't really have high points, and such that it was like, so like, you know, crazy high points, so I was like, I have a possibility of getting this, and I got it. I put it as my first choice and I got it, and I loved it, so that's where it came from.
Brilliant. And like, for most courses there's like a portfolio involved, whatever, but for you as a young age, did you kind of know, you know, you were great interest in music, or did you kind of know that maybe that was something that you'd want to do later in life? Did your music have a great influence in you choosing this course?
Yeah, I think I said earlier that I thought I was going to do art, because I was going based off what I was best at in school, which was art, and by itself. But then I looked at the courses and I was like, oh my god, I cannot do a portfolio, like, this is I cannot do it, because I did not know that existed to halfway through 6th year. And I was like, they're like, oh, you should be starting it like in 5th year. I was like, well, I didn't, and I'm not going to take a year out to do it, which I know people have, and fair play to doing it, just not my thing, because I knew for a fact, what happens if I don't like it throughout the thing, or I just wasted a year. So I was like, I need to do something else, like, I find some alternative to it. And then it's kind of the same thing, but not actual practical art. But it's still in there. So so it kind of came to that. And then music, that has been in my life for so many years, starting off from my dad introducing it to me when I was younger, showing me, as I said, like rock and roll, you know, alternative, very a wide range of bands, like I said this earlier, that the Smiths, the Kinks, the Kooks, Black Sabbath, the Metallica, just don't know why, it was very much was younger. And as you get older, going through friends and make friends, we all share music and listen to music, and obviously my taste developed from there. But I feel like I've touched off almost every type of genre of music, well, basic type, maybe not every single one in the book, but you know, the main ones, and I love all of them. There's nothing I don't like. Like, I listen to anything that's good. I might choose something over something, which is perfectly normal. Like, I wouldn't, like, for example, like, really, I wouldn't listen to, like, all of Taylor Swift's songs, but there probably won't be one song I like. Yeah. I wouldn't be a mass fan of her, but there's one song I like. So it's kind of like the same for everything else. And that's really how music kind of came about. And then I obviously, it would kind of jump back and forth where I'm like really into music, really not, but still listen to it every day. I probably listen to it every day. It's not been one day where I haven't listened to music for years now. And I think that kind of goes to show for everyone now. But as I got into college and closer towards college, getting more and more into music, and now it's just music. I didn't realize it's always influenced my life a lot more than I thought, you know.
Now that's really, really cool. Deadly. And I suppose moving on to our topic for this week, which was looking at the idea of, you know, events management in terms of funding, in terms of fundraising, in terms of community. And I suppose what we were kind of focusing on in the topic was looking at the artistic element of some of these fundraisers, how people can get creative. There has been different things like viral challenges over the past, you know, in terms of like Ice Bucket Challenge, da, 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 which in itself was a viral thing. It could have started from anywhere. But obviously, sometimes there's these kind of like marketing teams or marketing groups behind these sort of fundraisers. And I suppose for you, have you worked in charitable work? Have you any, you know, experience or interest in working in communities in terms of promotion, in terms of marketing, events management, those kind of things?
Yes, I have a huge, huge interest for it. And obviously, you know, I got plunged into it when I was in college, but as we developed, I think it was last year in second year, because I'm third year now, that we were about to run events, but it was part of our events management assignment, and we were looking forward to, we got put into groups. There was like so many stages we were going through, like planning it and choosing out which event we were going to go for. And we had this amazing one we were going to book in Yamamori Tengu, very nice Japanese restaurant, but they have a nice venue behind it. And we had like a workshop with a really good producer, well-known producer, it's actually Robbie Kidd. He's one of the fellows that run Give Us the Night campaign. Have you heard of it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Very good fella. We had him to do a production workshop for Ableton, which is a type of production with software, for people who wanted to be producers and maybe want to know more elements. And we had that set up and a night out upstairs of the venue. And the whole thing was, because he has such a big name, it's kind of a marketing and also, he was very nice, kind enough to let us do it with him. He, all the money that we were going to get from it, like obviously people paying for a ticket to attend and to attend for the event, that was all going towards charity. That was, I think, as we were close to planning, we were trying to get like, all the artists and venues sorted. And as we were about to choose the charity, then COVID hit. So the event went, we had to postpone it because of COVID. Like we had it booked when we got put into lockdown. So it was kind of it was kind of sad, but that's kind of the biggest type of involvement I got when it came to event managing an event or planning an event and charity in relation. And it's kind of sad I didn't get to fully go ahead and have the full experience, but it was nice to have some type of experience that leading up to it, and it was exciting. It was devastating it didn't happen, but I know for the future like how to plan it out and stuff. So hopefully we do get to go ahead and do it when things lift.
Do you think that the idea of fundraising in times of COVID has changed? So I suppose, you know, something that, you know, I hear a lot is that if someone's fundraising for something or whatever, it's kind of this idea in the back of your head, oh, well, people don't have money right now, or people don't have, you know, the facilities anymore to be able to fund. And then you look at things like the Late Late Show or the Toy Show, where they raised like something like $4.5 million for hospitals and stuff like that. So do you think that COVID's going to change the face of events management in terms of charity, in terms of fundraising? Do you think everything will be moved online? What do you think? Do you think like people are more charitable now more than ever because of COVID? Like what's your experience of that, or I suppose opinion of that?
People are aware obviously of charities, but I think because we're all locked in constantly more on our phones than usual, so we're constantly more on the internet, we're more aware, brought into charities and the different types of charities you can donate to and ways of doing it. Now, obviously, as you said, like, people don't have the money and people think, oh, I can't donate, I don't have the money. People found alternatives to donating without actually paying. Like, I know people have done, not in relation to events, but they've done, like, oh, if you, for Black Lives Matter, for example, when they wanted to raise money towards, I think Breonna Taylor's family, something like that, they were like, oh, if you watch this video that was on YouTube, it had ads in it. And they're like, if you just let it run, don't skip the ads, they get the ad revenue, and 100% of that goes towards them. So that's another alternative. So people have found ways towards that. Or if I go on TikTok, there's lonely people that put up their story and they're like, if you get like 1,000 followers on TikTok and you kind of react to it, like watch the video like 5 times, like a comment, they get some money towards the creative funds and actually get money. So people have found, and people have done that for raising awareness, for raising money for, you know, a family or someone that's in need, so type of charity, basically. So people have found ways, like, through the internet. It's crazy. And then obviously a lot of people have done GoFundMe, or they've done, when it comes to actually donating, they, people want to donate, the people would do 5K challenges. They would, I know, like, and then people would like raise, you know, donate to them for saying, oh my god, you run like 10k or you done all this for charity, fair play to you. And which is common, and it's kind of the only thing we can do in lockdown. But I have noticed in events, people, a lot of collectives or event agencies, or not event agencies, event companies, they would basically make, because they've had, so they have like a profile and a big following, they would make their own merch, so a t-shirt and such, or something like that, or some face mask maybe. And if you bought it, 100% of it goes towards the charity they choose. So I knew one collective named Slither. They did they were selling t-shirts that said oh god, I can't remember what it said on the t-shirt, it's so bad, but it had a really cool design. It was very unique. I loved it. I have it actually. But that's, they raised, so cool. I think they raised, like, I could be wrong, I could be very wrong, like, they're touching off 2 grand, maybe more. But that's 100% amazing. Of it went towards cystic fibrosis, and which was very good. So yeah, people have found alternatives.
There's a company in Arklow called Thrive, and they have, which is the hat I'm wearing. We're on Zoom for anyone listening, and I'm wearing a hat that has Thrive on it. And basically, the company is run by 2 guys from the town, and they raised money by selling the hats for a fiver. So usually they're a tenner, and they sold the hats for a fiver in aid of Wicklow Hospice. And I think they raised like something like a grand or over a grand just by selling the hats. And I think, you know, it is a great way to obviously support local businesses and also support, you know, charities and things like that. But I suppose for you, because you're doing arts management, do you think that in terms of community, so like very, very recently, more and more artists in the community have come out. So, you know, new up and coming artists, or possibly people who never would have had the platform before, are now getting a platform because of TikTok, YouTube, whatever. It's not necessarily always going to be, you know, the mainstream forms of promotion. So for you, I suppose, because you're obviously, you're managing DJs and that's your area of interest, do you think that now up and coming artists have this opportunity because of COVID, because of social media, because of internet, to be able to promote themselves? Or do you have any, I suppose, advice on how to promote yourself? Do you have any advice about who to go to help you, whatever?
Definitely. Like, I know before COVID hit, DJs, from my experience, from not even just witnessing, but from my friends who are DJs, they will promote. Social media is a huge thing, like a massive thing on how to promote yourself and get yourself up there, because someone will come across your profile who has a big name and will get book you for a gig. And there's like, what, 1,000 people that show up to the gig and such, and then you get bigger fan base and you get booked more, and it's a chain reaction. You know, some one thing happens, it leads to another. And but sometimes, well, most, actually 99% of the time, it is pure luck. Sometimes you might do something and there's no chain reaction, nothing does happen. But I think, the best advice on top of this is, if you just keep going, just keep promoting yourself. It doesn't matter if you're annoying people, just keep doing it. Something's going to happen. Like, it's going to happen eventually. Like, we're in lockdown, like, it's just going to happen. But I have noticed that a lot of people, like, they... And not even just with artists as well, like my friend even, who does nails, like she made a nail video and it blew up and it had like 500,000 views overnight out of nowhere. So you, and she got a bigger following from it. And same for my friend who's a DJ, she posts basically like kind of music facts about electronic music, certain certain genres of electronic music, and then it blows up and it gets viewed and shared, and then she gets a bigger following. So in a way, I think before lockdown, as you were on social media and people were promoting, but I think now we're more on our phones and more on the internet and more reliant on the internet, that it's kind of the only way. But I think you're more than likely to get get discovered on the internet now than before, because everyone's so caught up on it and so focused on it.
And I think that's changed a lot of artists, I suppose. We've talked about social media before numerous times on the podcast, mm-hmm. In terms of the pros and cons of promotion of artists on social platforms. But I suppose, I've came across a lot more singers, that singer who sang Driver's License, I can't remember her name, but she started off on TikTok and now she's like number one ahead of Ariana Grande or something crazy, so abroad it's happening a lot in America, but also in Ireland I think a lot more people are getting platforms that they wouldn't have had before. So how to manage that is the next thing, how to manage that fame, if that's the best way of putting it, or kind of that the backlash that comes from being on social media. And I guess for you, would you have experience, if even for yourself personally, would you have experience of possibly promotion and having that backlash, either on your personal accounts, or maybe if you're working for someone, if you're managing someone, the backlash they might receive or the hate that they might receive? Because obviously that is evident in any form if you put yourself forward for anything, really.
I'm gonna say I have, and the artists I have managed have, but to be honest, everyone has. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you do, someone is going to have a problem with it. You would do the nicest thing in the world, you donate a million, someone would still have a problem with it and still say something about it. So honestly, just do what makes you happy and doesn't harm anyone. Doesn't matter what these people think, because you keep thinking about it, it's just going to make it worse. Just keep doing it, just ignore them. But you would have a lot of backlash and experience even when it comes to promotion. I think just a lot of people, they just kind of be sick of seeing the same thing of you promoting your stuff all the time, and they're like, I'm sick of seeing this stuff that they would they'd unfollow you, you'd lose people. But then also think about it, you'd gain people because they really like what you do, so it doesn't matter. But they would also what else would they do? They would just or your friends not supporting you by sharing their stuff. I don't know why people don't do that. It's not that hard. Just to share it won't take that long. And if you have a problem with that, that's very strange.
I think that's kind of like if people have said this before, I suppose, of an Irish culture of this kind of thing of not supporting our own. And I think that's an ongoing issue in Ireland. And I suppose to move on to the next question, which might highlight that, is that a question that I ask everybody, I guess, when I come onto the podcast is, what do you think needs to change, either in the mentality of the government, the mentality of other people, other artists, to kind of put essence on the arts that it's important, that needs to be funded, that needs to be recognised, and not just something that, it's nearly like get a job if you have it at the moment. Do you know what I mean? Just get another job. If you don't have a job, just get another one. So what do you think needs to change in their mentality, or what the way it's educated, the way it's taught, to make people appreciate it more?
I think ignorance has a big thing. People are too ignorant to understand, be patient and learn why everyone is in this. Or they kind of see the first thing, they're like, well, cop on, get another job, when really you don't realize this isn't like, working in the arts is not just not a laugh thing. It's like an actual job. Like it brings culture, it brings people together. It's not an office job, it's not retail, it's not whatever, but it's still something. Like, it's just as important as everything else. And people need to stop having this mindset or, like, kind of perception, like, very, not rhetorical, so very stereotypical perception of, like, how they think of people in the arts, especially artists and DJs. They're really struggling when it comes to jobs and such. When they're just like, oh, they just stand there and they just spin on the decks and that's it, that's all they do. No, there's a lot more to that. And then, there's a lot of people, they think, oh, it's just DJs. No, there's sound engineers, there's light engineers, there's everything, there's security, there's bartenders, there's managers for the bars, there's managers for that, there's events managers. And, like, you wouldn't, You won't have a problem if we started talking about conference events. They'd be like, hey, that's important. Well, like, so is every other event that we do. You know, it's it benefits everyone and changes, you know, has an impact on everyone's life, or it does something very beneficial, maybe small, maybe very big, and you've no idea, but it shouldn't matter. I think people should stop being very ignorant and rude about it. I think they, you know, and especially during this time, I know everyone's maybe a bit bitter, not really feeling the best, which is perfectly fine, but... you know, to kind of shame someone on their profession is just not, it's not really nice. It's like, I'm sure they wouldn't like it if someone turned around and found some way shaming their own profession that isn't in the, that isn't involved in the arts. Even if they are like fine with their job at the moment because during a pandemic, but still, like, they just shouldn't. And as you said, like, earlier, so bring it back, when you said, Irish people kind of in the culture are known for not supporting. I have seen that. I think someone said on TikTok, it was this guy being like, about Irish people, it's just they don't really like to, they're not really the people to support you when it comes to like a business or any type of form of that sort, which is kind of sad, but we hope to break that barrier. And man, it's not everyone, it's not everyone.
I
think it's just a majority of people, and other people tend to follow it, but definitely people should just break out of that too. And just keep going.
I think it's become a thing that's not necessarily businesses anymore as it was before during the Celtic Tiger. I think, you know, people are starting to open their eyes up, but there's still a huge stigma around the arts. And, like, you know, the people who say, you know, there's a whole joke going around of, oh, hey, will you read my script, you know, or, oh, hey, will you listen to my new track? And people are like, oh, just get a job, or, oh, like, there's this whole kind of genuine joke around the arts at the moment. And I think that just comes back to the government. And I think the government, if it treated it differently, people would treat it differently. So, like, you know, education, guards, nurses, of course they're important, obviously, but they get that in the government, you know, they get that background, they get that backing. We don't, so people don't put any emphasis on it because they're like, well, if the government doesn't think it's that hugely important, then why should I think it's that important?
That's definitely, well, that's, you know, a one thing as well. It's crazy, like, they just kind of go through, like, if someone says something, they just all follow through, like, it's just so, it's a mess. It's a huge mess.
So it's definitely something that needs to change. I think hopefully after COVID people will kind of wake up to the issues that the artists, like, expecting artists to be able to just bounce back after this and expect new films and new work and stuff, you know. I think it needs to change. But coming to the end of wrapping up now, and I'm just wondering for our listeners at home, where is the best place? I know you said you had some announcements coming up soon. So where is the best place for our listeners to find you, either your own page or maybe your work page or anything like that?
Okay. Instagram is the best one. Instagram, definitely. I was just saying my name. It's Jen Hessian. It's like JennHessian. So that's my personal. I don't mind anyone following. I'm open. I mainly post about events, music, events, electronic, my mates' tracks. I try to do as much as I can, and some charities and stuff as much as I can. And some memes because I'm trying to be funny, I guess. Also, the management company I have is called Instinct Society. We started a year ago. We had an event planned, but obviously COVID hit, and then we were like trying to figure out to bring it back, and then my mate Rory, I love him to death, he came up to me and he was like, I need you to manage me, I can't do this. So I go, okay, grand. I took it upon myself because obviously it's in my course, and I was planning on, sorry, I know it's kind of off topic, I was planning on doing managing artists in general, tour managing, all the managing side after I graduate, but since we're in lockdown, I was like, you know what, I might as well just start off small and just kind of develop them there. So definitely, there are big plans in the future, especially after I graduate, because I'm going into my last year of college, so it's going to be a lot harder, but I don't want to put too much on myself. But after I graduate, definitely huge things. But right now, I'm announcing the three artists, we already know one, Rory. The other two DJs I'm managing, I'm announcing that, I think, in 1 or 2 days. Now, it was meant to be announced a couple of days ago, but because my web designer, we've been trying to sort out our website, and we've had problems with it, but it's almost there, I think, hopefully next week. But this week... So if you want to check it out, have a little countdown for it. It's at Instinct Society _ on Instagram. It's Instinct Society on Facebook, and on SoundCloud. It's also Instinct Society, where I should repost all the artists' work on their SoundCloud. So It's all of that, and the little logo, it's like a, it looks like a bee, but it's like an INS, and it's in like a purple, cool, kind of purple blue thing. So I hope hope that attracts your attention. That's, I hope really you like cool it as well. No matter. And also, if anyone has anything they want, like any questions or anything, yeah, else they definitely want to say to my personal or an instinct, I really don't mind. I'm open to having a chat with anyone about it. So yeah,
brilliant. Yeah, no, we'll tag Jennifer's tags in all of our posts, so you can find all the different links on our social media page as usual. But thank you so much for joining me today, Jennifer. It was a great honor. Thank you all for listening. Stay safe and keep creating.